Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Good morning, Core Church. This weather is nuts. I don't know where you are at today, but I couldn't even get to the church. One, because of the weather, the other because of my health. I'll explain that here in just a moment. I do want to say, if this is your first time with us, my name is Pastor Brad. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm actually in my record room. I've talked about this a lot from the stage, and you get to actually see it today. In fact, a couple things to note over here, over my left shoulder. This is actually my recording studio right here. And then a lot of my radio memorabilia is there. There's my record collection that I've got, some books right in front of me. I've got my Lakers shrine over here to my right. Got my Raiders shrine. So that's my true inspiration today. Come on, somebody. But I'm just first excited to be upright. Because most of you know the health issues I've been dealing with for really almost a year now. If this is your first time, I had some health issues last year, and in April, they weren't life-threatening, but in April, I had a procedure done that was supposed to fix the issue. It did not. And for the last 9 months, my body literally shuts down every about 4 hours. It's painful. It's uneasy and uncomfortable. And this continues for 9 months. But last week, about 10 days ago, I underwent a second procedure, saw a specialist in Kansas City. The surgery was successful, and I was sent home not knowing that I had contracted an infection and a virus, which sent me then to the ER and spiraling downward. The last week has honestly been a complete blur. For 48 hours, I really don't even remember what happened. I couldn't lift my head off the pillow. I couldn't eat. I wasn't able to open my eyes. I had a pulsating migraine. Body was aching and out of control. It wasn't until yesterday that I actually was able to get up out of bed. Laura's not very pleased that I'm doing this right now, but I'll tell you why I'm doing this is because I believe that God's given me a word that I just got to get out of me. And anybody who knows me, listen, I ain't going to sit around. It's part of the message today, by the way, is what are you going to do when pain and adversity and difficult days come your way. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. You got a Bible. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14. So we're in a series called Mindset Reset. And if I'm a little scattered or sound a little different, it's I just have literally no energy. So I'm going to try to get this out as quickly as I can. I just think it's an important message. So in this series, Mindset Reset, what we're talking about is, you know, how we think is really what we're going to become in 2026. And we started this series talking about going from a victim mindset to a victory mindset. Last week, Pastor Eric preached. I'd love to tell you, I've watched the message. I haven't had a chance at all to do anything like that. His message, though, was such a great word about going from doubting to believing. And then next Sunday, Pastor Paula has got an incredible word talking about going from worry to rest. But today, what I want to talk to you about is going from a sunset to a sunrise. Going from a sunset to a sunrise. And we see this in probably the most classic story in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 14. So in the series, we're looking at all these different stories from the Old Testament. We had Gideon last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Next week, King Jehoshaphat. This week, it's the parting of the Red Sea. just about everybody knows that story. Maybe you've never read the story before, or maybe you just read it hundreds of times. I want us to revisit it. So I want us to start, though, in verse 19. Now, for those of you that don't know, let me give you some context on this story. The nation of Israel has been enslaved for 400 years. They go up against, Moses goes up against Pharaoh. God tells him, I'm going to set my people free. He does. Now they have marched out of Egypt triumphantly. They are on their way. They are excited. The sun is finally rising. And then everything goes wrong. They end up against the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming after them. They want to put them back into slavery. The nation of Israel, they're angry at Moses for bringing them out there. And this is where we pick up the story in verse 19. It says, the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, never forget that, God is always leading you, always leading you. But this is what God also does. It says he moved to the rear of the camp. So God goes before you, and he comes behind you. Whatever you're facing, I'm getting ahead of myself, but whatever you're facing, come on. God is guiding you. You listen, I do not know how people do this without Jesus. I'm so thankful for the people of God too. Can I just pause here for a second? Because I didn't say thank you. Overwhelmed by the phone calls and the text that you've given to Laura. Thankful for giving me, I didn't see any text for almost 5 days, but Laura has shared so many of those with me. So many people encouraging her, praying with her. It's just been overwhelming. People bringing meals and checking on us. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, but a couple of guys came and put my trash cans up for me. You know, it's the little things like that. This is what we got to do for one another. So just want to say thank you for that. So let's go back to the story. Okay, so people of Israel. So God's going before them. God's going to come behind you. And this is what he's going to do when you're in the middle of something. The pillar of cloud, it moved from the front to the, and it stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and the Israelite camps. And as darkness fell, so this is as the sun set. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. This is what our God does in the midst of darkness. Man, just look for the light. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night. Verse 21, then Moses raised his hand, this is the famous part of the story, over the sea. The Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry ground. So the people of Israel, they walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. I love how the scripture just tells this little part in just one sentence. We're going to get into a little bit of that here in just a minute. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, oh, come on, the sun is getting ready to rise. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you the sun always rises. The darkness has to give way to the light. Come on, somebody. That's good news. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire in the cloud, and he threw their forces into complete confusion. Now go down to verse 26. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again, then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and the chariots and charioteers. And this is it. So as the sun began to rise, the sun is going to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea and the water rushed back into its usual place. And God set the nation of Israel free. This is a word not just for the nation of Israel. This is not just an old story. This is a promise. This is a word picture that God is trying to give to us as people, that he wants to take us from sunsets to a sunrise. God, I just ask in the moments that we have here together that you'd bless your word, that you'd encourage your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's common knowledge that I love sunrises and sunsets. I'm just, Oklahoma's the best place for them. I'm glad I'm here in Oklahoma. Because the sunrise, it's like a fresh start. It's like a new beginning. It's a second chance. I always love when I'm up before the dawn because I feel like the sun is always chasing me. And don't get me wrong, sunsets are beautiful, but I love a sunset. But as the sun is going down, I get kind of frustrated because I'm like, the day is done, and I can't do anything else, and now I gotta wait, and I. I don't like waiting, which is what God has been making me do for 9 months. Listen, ladies, I don't know what it's like to birth a baby. I ain't gonna say that I do, but can I tell you, I'd almost rather birth a baby than go through what I've been going through. And I am ready for a delivery. Come on. But I just, it's that moment where it just feels like everything, stops. This is just a time in our lives where everything, where you lose hope. Let me ask you this, where has the sun set in your life? I mean, where has you frustration, the finality? Like, I mean, come on, you're like, you've been praying, you've been believing, and like the Israelites, it's, and we know the end of the story, but like the Israelites, it's over. Where do we go from here? Maybe that's the finality of a relationship. Somebody's walked away. You've lost somebody. Maybe it has to do with career aspirations and your future hopes and dreams, and you thought you were going to get that promotion or get that job, or man, I was going to get into that school and I was going to get into that program. And then you got that rejection letter. Maybe you're like me. Maybe it's your health, where, you know, you think, like I did, like, hey, all right, I'm going to go through this procedure and then everything's going to be good. And then suddenly the sun sets. And what do you do in moments like that? In moments like that, it just feels like the sun is never going to rise again. So how do we keep from getting trapped in a sunset? We all know people who've gotten trapped in sunsets. It's a moment in life that marked them. It might have been a year ago, 5 years ago, even 20 years ago, and it sent the trajectory of their life in a spiraling downward, and they've never recovered. But we've watched some people who've gone through sunsets, and it marked them, but they, out of that, it springboarded them into some pretty amazing things. And you look at their life and you go, how did you go through that? And now you're here. Let's talk about how we do that. Let's go back to the scriptures, because it requires a mindset reset. Verse 20 says simply this: as darkness fell. I mean, let's just think about this in this moment for the Israelites. What this must have been like, just anger. They were very angry. They were frustrated. They're watching the Egyptians coming down on them. They can't get past this Red Sea. It's a hopeless situation. This is where despair really can set in. Sunsets in life can just be a harsh reality. I mean, you're watching the sun set, slowly fading, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. I want to encourage you today, don't sit in your sunset. Don't just sit in your sunset. I grew up in California. Hey, don't hold that against me. I call myself an Okie now. Come on, somebody. But I did grow up in California, and one of the joys was going to the beach. I went to the beach a lot, especially in my middle school years. Venice Beach, hanging out with some crazy people, taught me how to be a pastor and work with some crazy church people. And so, but one of the things that's known for California are the sunsets. I mean, man, you sit on that beach, you watch that sunset, it is unbelievable. And it's gorgeous. But once the sun sets, you don't just keep sitting there. In fact, it gets very cold, it gets very dark, windy, and you can't see anything anymore. And you got to get up and you got to get moving. This is what happens to people: is they get stuck in a moment. They get stuck in their sunset, staring out into the abyss. And this is what's happening to the Israelites. They're looking, and the Egyptians want to take them back into slavery. And this is what will happen in the darkness. This is what will happen in this moment. Hardship, tragedy, disappointment. It comes to us all. And it can enslave you. It can enslave you in anger and bitterness, disappointment and despair. We see an example of this in John chapter 4, famous story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus says to her, yeah, you've had five husbands, and this other guy you're with isn't even your husband now. Think about that for a moment. For this woman, the sun had risen, and then it set, and then it rose, and then it set, and then it rose, and then it set, and then it rose, and then it set. And we don't know what happened. It's interesting that the Bible doesn't give us the details of this. We don't know if maybe she tried to force a sunrise. Anybody ever tried to do that? I can tell you in the last 9 months, I've been trying to force some sunrises. That never works. Don't force a sunrise. You got to be patient. You got to wait on the Lord. Or maybe it was no fault of her own. The guy she was with was not healthy for her and he just left. Maybe a husband died. We just don't know what happened to this. We only know that the sun rose and the sunset and the sun rose and the sunset. I think this is more disappointing than just having the sunset. What can be more disappointing is the sun rising and then the sun setting and then the sun rising and then the sun setting again. I was reading in Proverbs chapter 13 a couple days before my surgery, and it says this: hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. See, something happened in this woman's life, and her heart became sick, but then something changed when Jesus showed up. Everything changes when Jesus shows up. He has not left you at your sunset alone. You are not alone. Man, God is with you. He has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten about you. So I don't know what you're facing. I don't know how dark it has gotten, but I promise you this. Maybe you can't even hear the voice of God. Maybe you shut your Bible and you said, I'm not reopening it. God has not forgotten you. God loves you, and God is going to bring about a sunrise. You just got to hold on to hope. This is the promise throughout Scripture. And this is exactly what he did for the Israelites. So look back at this story in verse 21. It says, the wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. God does his best work in the darkest places. I've just seen this throughout my lifetime. I don't see him working. It feels like he's not working. I don't see or sense anything. But just because you don't see or sense anything doesn't mean God's not working. God is at work even in the darkness. Think about the confusion in this moment for the Israelites. We just kind of passively go, hey, you know, God parted the sea, and they're like, yeah, here we go. And they just kind of, you know, pranced out into the sea, you know, and just were like, all right. I mean, just, we got to use some common sense here. I mean, the wind is howling. The Egyptians are bearing down on them. There's this pillar of fire. There's a lot of confusion in the camp. What's taking place? And then the sea starts pushing back. They have no idea what's happening. And then Moses says, all right, let's go. Let's go. I mean, who's going first on that one? I'm not. I'm like, hey, somebody go first and I'll follow you. And then they get out in the middle of the sea, and we're to think that in the middle of all this, they're like, yeah, this is good. Faith in God, trust in him. He's got our back. And they've got water as walls on both sides of them. This makes no sense. Yet they did what the Lord told them to do. In the darkest times, God's going to ask you to do things that make absolutely no sense. Why is God sending me in this direction when I know I'm supposed to be going in this direction? Why is he doing this when I should be doing that? This makes absolutely no sense. But this is how God works, because he wants us to trust in him. In fact, in moments like this, I want to encourage you to do what the scripture says that Moses told the nation of Israel to do. I'm so thankful for a good friend of mine that sent me this particular scripture in the middle of my recovery when I was spiraling out of control this week, when I couldn't even lift my head off the pillow. He sent me the scripture and said he was praying it over me. Can I just stop for a moment? I want to tell you, church, when you think about somebody, you got to text them. You got to call them. And you got to let them know exactly what you're doing. I mean, send an audio prayer. Send a scripture. If you tell them you're praying for them, like write out the prayer. This is a practice I have learned to do, is I don't just say, hey, praying for you. That's good, but I want to encourage you to just specifically pray. Send it as an audio text. Write the text out. Whatever you've got to do. Those have been some of those powerful things in these past 9 months for me, is watching some of my closest friends come alongside me. And sometimes people I didn't even know reach out and give me prayers, give me specific scriptures that in the moment meant everything. And I want to tell you, this scripture in this moment meant everything to me. It's in verse 13. It says this, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see, the darkness you see, the sun that has set, the problem, the relationship issue, the health issue, the financial issue, the setback, the death of a dream. I mean, what does the Egyptian represent for you? Okay, that's coming down on you. The Egyptian you see today, you ain't ever gonna see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. And I love these three words. Just stay calm. During those 48 hours when I couldn't lift my head off the pillow, I remember those moments. I had to try to eat something because I was trying to take medication, but I couldn't take the medication because then it caused me to be extremely nauseous, and I was nibbling like a little kitten on a saltine cracker, just trying to get something down. Couldn't open my eyes. I was living literally second by second for those 48 hours once I got that infection and that virus. And I remember thinking those words because my friend had sent them to me. Just stay calm. Just stay calm. Second by second. Maybe that's where you're at. You're living second by second, minute by minute. I want to encourage you today, just stay calm, because, man, and stand. And as one translation says, see the salvation of the Lord. Like, see the deliverance of our God. Sometimes that's all you can do. And sometimes that is exactly what you need to do. You just need to stand. You need to turn your countenance to the east, and you need to look for that sunrise. I'll see it. I'll know when it's coming, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to see the sun rise again. I think about that Friday. That Good Friday, when all hope was gone, when Jesus, they took him down off of that cross and they laid him in that tomb, and the disciples are thinking, wait, what just happened? I mean, come on, where's all their hopes, all their dreams, everything they were believing, crushed, gone, the sun had set. But we all know what happened on that third day. The book of Matthew, one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Matthew, it says this. On a Sunday, that Sunday morning, as the sun began to rise, like God is working in your waiting. He has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. I don't care how dark it has gotten, man. Hang on, hold on to Jesus. Keep your countenance to the east. Watch for that sunrise, because it is coming. And this is exactly what the scripture says happened for the nation of Israel. And in verse 27, it says this, So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and as the water rushed back into its usual place, this past week when I finally was able to get out of bed before this snow came, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, a couple days ago. Again, it's just all a blur this past week. But I managed to get outside. I was like, I got to get out of this house. Anybody ever been there where you're just like, I got to get out of this bed. I got to get out of this house. And I managed to get outside, and it was just a crisp, cool afternoon, and the sun was shining. And I went out and I sat in my dead garden. I mean, think about that for the moment. Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, sitting in the middle of a valley of dry bones. I'm sitting in the middle of everything that is dead. And I just sat back and I just let that sun hit my face. You know that feeling? The air is crisp, but the sun is warm, and I just sat there. I really had no strength other than to just sit there in the middle of my dead garden. And it was like the glorious radiance of God was shining on me. And that's when he gave me this word. I'm going to take you from a sunset to a glorious sunrise. This is the promise that God has for you. This is the promise he has for me. He never leaves us abandoned in a sunset. I don't know what's happened. I don't know how long ago it happened to you. But I want to encourage you, don't sit in your sunset. No. Rise as the sun rises. In fact, I would encourage you, rise before the sun rises. Take a stance in the middle of the valley of dry bones. Take a stance and say, though what I see or cannot see, I know that my God, that sun is going to rise again. He's going to get me out of this. He is going to bring me into a promised land. His promises are true. They are true for me. They are true for you. Man, I believe this for you. Man, God loves you. He has not forgotten you. He is watching over you, even when you sense he is not there. And what I believe is that God is going to step in. And I want to encourage you, keep your countenance to the east. Just get your eyes off and fixated off of that situation, off of that heartache, off of that brokenness, off of that ending, off of that sunset, and say, no, I'm waiting. I don't care how long I gotta wait. I don't care who thinks I'm foolish. I don't care who thinks I should give up. And listen, I want to tell you this, that sometimes the sunrise looks different. Doesn't every day look different? Today, for us here in Oklahoma, looks a whole lot different than yesterday. But this snowstorm that we're all in the middle of, the clouds that we're all facing right now, come on. They're going to part. Sun's going to shine. The grass is going green. Spring's going to come. Sun is going to rise. Don't sit in your sunset. No. God is at work. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep looking to him. I believe in you. I'm trusting God for you. And I know that God is going to bring you into that new beginning, and that sun is going to rise. God bless you. God's face shine upon you. Father, thank you for your word. I pray in the midst of darkness that you would bring hope, that today would be a day for the sun to rise for somebody, that God, you would again instill in us that you are with us and you are for us. You are watching over us. Praise be to the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Core Church. Have an incredibly beautiful day.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.